Let's read a little bit from St. Luke, chapter 9, beginning at the first verse. As I said this morning, as to whether we get into anything or not, depends on your attitude. And of course, this is why I talk like I do. I come up here and I can tell that your thoughts and your spirits are just wandering around. The Bible speaks of wandering spirits that seek rest and cannot find it. And many of you, I find your spirits wandering around. And because of that, I can tell that you're not stable. Whereas the Bible said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. So I find your spirits wandering around. And you've been eating and you've been drinking. You've been riding. You've been looking. And you're in the flesh. And you're in the fleshly mind and the fleshly way of life. And you come to church real carnal and fleshly. And then we want to try to get in touch with the great eternal spirit and get the great eternal spirit to speak to us, and we're altogether non-spiritual. Whereas Paul said, I would that you were spiritual, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. That is to say, if you was spiritual, I could speak unto you as unto spirituals and pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So I come up here, and if I have been trying to talk to God, and if I have been trying to walk with God or keep my mind in a melodious way before God during the day, then that means that if I come up here, I'm desiring to get into the deep things of God. And I'm desiring to get into the wonderful meditation of the heart is to Christ and have the wonderful jubilance of God just having it flowing through my heart, that I might feel the exhilaration of that next world, as you call it, or that wonderful world in which I walk with God or live with God. So then in this, I come up here, and then if I don't find it, it's like the transformer out on the pole, though the wires might be running, they might have the receptacles, and you may have the switches, but if the receptacles are burnt out, then you flip the switch, but no light. And then I'm really disappointed. The Lord is disappointed, and I don't get my thrill and exuberance, and you don't get your thrill and exuberance, and then you go away, and all through the week, you're all run down and worn out, and you don't feel like anything at all because you don't have any inspiration. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Now, if the Lord Jesus would give the 12 disciples power over all devils and would not give you the power over all devils, then would he not be respect a person? Wouldn't he be respect a person? Of course he would be respect a person. He gave them power over all the powers of the devil. And to prove that he wasn't just being partial, he had 70 that walked with him. He gave them power. And the Bible said that they came back to him rejoicing over the fact that the devils were subject unto them in his name. And he said, don't do that. He said, rejoice over the fact that your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's the thing to be happy over, not just happy over devils being subject to you. So see, that proved that he was not respect a person. That when he gave the 12, he also gave the 70. And there's another proof of it, to prove that he's no respect a person. He said unto you and I, behold, I give unto you power over all of the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So then I said that to say this. When we think of it like this, then that means that all of a sudden we're made to realize that something is wrong in our lives. That there is a deficiency somewhere in our lives. If he has spoken to us even as he spoke unto the disciples, and if he has given unto us even as he has given unto the disciples, and if it's God's pleasure that we bring forth much fruit unto perfection, or that we go on to be perfect even as our Savior Jesus Christ, then there's something wrong in our life. There's something wrong, not with God and not with God's word, but something wrong with us as individuals. For he has said unto us to be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. He has said unto us, these works that I do, Jesus said, ye shall do these same works. That is, I gave you the power and authority to do these same works. And ye shall do these same works, he said, and even greater works, because I go unto the Father. So then, that is to say, I make it possible for the great, wonderful things of God to be spread abroad throughout the entire church and throughout the entire world, that in that I go to the Father. I am in one place, he could have said, and all I can do is in this one place. And that I can only do as to their faith. For the Bible said many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. But now I go to the Father, or I'm going to die for the remission of sin. And it's not going to be as difficult for you as it is for me to be able to do these wonderful works of God. Because I'm going to take away the sins of all mankind. And all you've got to do is to get them to believe. And if you can get them to believe, then all of the works is finished, even from the foundation of the world, as unto the righteousness that they're going to need to be translated into the kingdom of God. All that is to say, we can look at it like this. That if you can find anybody with a concern, anybody with a concern that's willing to look in my direction, submit their lives unto me, then I will work with them. I stand at their heart's door and I knock, and whosoever will open unto me, I will come in and sup with them. And so then, when I leave, Jesus said, I will come back. I will come back. Now, I go away, but I will return unto you. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, in that he had been a comforter to the 12 and to the 70 and to them that was round about that heard the ministry. He said, I must go away. It's of necessity that I must go away. If I go not away, the comforter cannot come. He said, therefore, I must go away. Or he could have said, the comforter is within me. I am the comforter. All this great Christ is to the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. And he, the Spirit of truth, which is inside of me, he cannot come as to you individually. That is to say, you dwell in the earth, but I dwell in heaven. And as he said to Nicodemus, I am in heaven. And as he said to them, if the comforter is to come to you in the earth, that is to say, to come to you into your body that is in the earthly realms, then I must go away from you as that which you can see with your natural eyes as a natural being. So that this Christ that is dwelling within heaven inside of me can come into your natural body, into the natural realms of this world, as to live in your body and then be a comforter unto you. For he said, if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send the comforter unto you, even him, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see because they know him not. And because they are walking in darkness, the Bible said, and they shall not see when good cometh. But we see. Now, someone would say, well, what do you mean? I mean, we see the comforter. Someone would say, well, how can you see the comforter? Jesus said, I do always the things that I see my Father do, and he saw the things that the Father was doing. Therefore, why should not we see the things that the Father is doing, since we are the children? So then he said, I do always the things I see my Father do. He said, you do not know my Father. He said, you've never seen my Father, nor known him. You've never even seen his shape. In that Jesus was standing there, knowing that he was the perpetuation of sin and had come in the image of sin to the extent in the likeness of humanity, and had to die before the image of God could be brought back as to that which was lost in the garden. So then he said, you've never seen his shape at any time. And though they were looking right at the very image of God, the express image of God, their eyes were beholden, and the veil was over their face. And though good stood close to them, they could not see the good when it came unto them. So then Jesus said, I must go away. And when he, the comforter, is come, he will reprove the world of sin. So then the comforter has come. The comforter is now here. The comforter is living on the inside of us. And this is why Paul said in the 19th chapter of Acts, have you received the comforter since you believe? And they said, well, we've not so much as heard of the comforter. All that is to say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, then what kind of baptism are you practicing? What is your mode of baptism? What is your teachings? What is your doctrines? And they said, well, our doctrine is the doctrine of John, and our baptism is the baptism of John. And he said, well, let me expound to you. Let me explain to you. Let me teach you. Let me tutor you. In that he was sent as to the apostle for the Gentile church to get a bride, he had the message for the hour. So then he said, let me explain it more thoroughly to you. John did baptize, and he baptized under repentance, saying, believe on the name which is to come. And the comforter shall come in the name. When you are baptized thus in the name, then shall the comforter come. For as the Bible said, repent, as to the day of Pentecost, Peter, having the keys to the kingdom, said, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the comforter, or ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Paul could have said like this. He could have said, children, John was before Calvary, and the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, or John would have given you this Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Now, when we say that, a lot of times a question would arise. Well, Brother Pike, you mean there was no Holy Ghost until after Calvary? Well, there was a Holy Ghost. There's always been a Holy Ghost because God is the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. It's only termed as the Holy Ghost in the King James Version because the reason for that, as to this version, is that when you personify a spirit, then you have made it a ghost. It has thus become a personification as to that of a human form. So then it became the Christ form, or it became the Holy Ghost of the only spirit, a ghost that is holy. Except that spirit as to your spirit, which is made holy by the wonderful Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All right, so then we see that the Holy Spirit had to come. And in that it had to come, then you and I have opportunity to have the Holy Ghost. So Paul could have said, children, John baptized with water under repentance, saying, believe on Calvary. I believe on the coming of the Son of God. I believe on this wonderful Christ that is to come. See, so then he could have said there was no Holy Ghost as of yet given in the days of John. And had it been given, then God would have given it to you through John. But it could not be given because there had to be one who would die for the remission of sins that you might receive this Holy Ghost. So there's always been a Holy Ghost, but you could not receive the Holy Ghost as to the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it was not yet given. That is to say, Jesus had to die for the remission of sin. And once he died for the remission of sin, then God, as to the Holy Ghost, which is the comforter, which is eternal life, then God gives you eternal life because your sins are gone. And so then, the Holy Ghost has always been there. The Bible speaks of the Holy Ghost, even with the prophets of the old time, where the Bible said in the New Testament, referring back to the old, saying, and the Holy Ghost moved, thus signifying such and such as to speak of this body that was to come as to the atonement in which he himself would dwell in as he came to atone for your sins and your wrong. And that this Holy Ghost, which has been prophesied of, was to come. Speaking of this Jesus that was to come. In that from the garden man fell into sin and death came and iniquity came. There was from that time something set forth. And God set forth something saying that a man shall come. And this man shall be different from all men. And this man shall be the great man. And this shall be the one and only man. And this is the man that's going to redeem you from death. Because you've fallen into death. You've fallen into darkness. You've fallen into sin. You've fallen into heartache. But I'm going to send a man. And this man is going to be different from all men. And this man is going to redeem you back to God and is going to give his own life that you may live. This wonderful man. So everybody looked down through the ages for this man. He's called the desire of ages, all down through the ages. The desire of the heart was under this man. And everybody looked under this man and looked for this man and waited for this man because they knew that there was no eternal life without this man. For the Bible said, this eternal life is in the Son.
He that hath the Son hath life, for this life is within the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and if you have not the Son, then you don't have life, because this life is in the Son. That's why the Bible uses the term that Jesus Christ within you, that is the hope of glory. And Christ alone being made heir to the glory, there is no other means of salvation except through this wonderful man. All right. So we've all watched and longed for this wonderful man. Now, in the time that we're living in, though we have not seen the man as to Jesus, yet we see the man as to not knowing each other after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Therefore, according to the measure of the Spirit of that God-man, as to the life of that man, in that his body is gone from view as to the head of the church, then his body is in view in that the membership of the body is here. And so then in this we see the man, as was said in the New Testament there, as before Pilate, it was said, "Behold the man." And so then the man was there, and we see the man as we look on one another, not to know them after the flesh, but to know them after the Spirit. Thus looking on that Christ, as that indwelling Christ, or that wonderful Jesus that's functioning through the membership of his body. Whereas the Bible said it in time past, God has spoken unto us by the prophets. He has done this at different times, or in diverse manners at sundry times. He's done this unto you and I. So then he hath done this as through the prophets coming down to us in a prophetical utterance as to the written word. Now then, the Bible said today he isn't doing that. Today he is speaking unto us by his own Son. And the Bible said, "And they all shall be taught of God, and by his own Son. For it shall not be them speaking, but shall be the heavenly Father speaking from within you. Even when you are delivered up, as to the things of this world, as to the law and all these other things." The Bible said, "And they will deliver you up for a testimony against them, not to premeditate beforehand. Take no thought for what ye shall say. For it shall be given you in that selfsame hour what ye shall speak. For it shall not be you speaking, but the Holy Ghost speaking from within you, the Comforter, our God, even the voice of God, speaking from within you." And of course, there's always those people that cannot get a hold of this. They do not believe this. They're carnal minded. To them, salvation is just somebody that just believes, and that's all they do. They believe, and they keep believing. And if everything works out at the end of the trail as to the evaluation, then they'll make it. If it don't, well, they just lost. You know, it's a gamble to them. Salvation is a gamble, and they just believe. As to the reality of God being in the midst of the people, or as to the reality of God himself actually dwelling in a human body, they don't grasp that. They can't get a hold of that. To think that God himself is speaking to human beings, that's repulsive to them. To look toward any individual and say, "That is God speaking unto me," they won't have that, because they are intellectually deranged in their minds. But see, the Bible says, John spoke of this in his day. He said, "And beware of the spirit of Antichrist. For if any spirit, any man, deny that Christ is come in the flesh, this man is an Antichrist." If I deny that Christ Jesus is living in the human body today, then am I Antichrist. If I deny that God himself as a spirit dwells in the body of humanity, then I am an Antichrist and I am a devil. So then I do not deny that. I say that it is Christ within you, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that God will give you of his spirit. And Jesus said, "If I go away, I will come again. I will come again." Or that is, "I will send the Comforter." Or that is, "I am the Comforter coming unto you as the great eternal spirit. And I will come unto you, and I will come in my name." That is the name Jesus. Or the spirit as to the Comforter, even Christ, will come in the name of Jesus, since it is the Spirit of Jesus. It will come in the name of Jesus, and it will dwell on the inside of you and change you into Jesus. It will change you from the bastard child image of that worm as to that metamorphosis of the cocoon as to the butterfly. That it will change you from that condition of your human body into this wonderful body of Almighty God. And it shall not be you living, but Christ living within you. And the life you now live will be by the Son of God, who gave himself for you. This is why Paul said, you received me as the Lord himself. And indeed it was so. He said, you would have plucked out your eyes for me. And he didn't dispute that as to say you've done wrong. He said, where is that love that you one time had for me? Where is this great, wonderful reception that you had for me, even as the Lord himself? For he said, it's not me that's living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God who gave himself for me. Now, that is to say, we say today, it is not we that live. Because if we then live, then are we not saved? For if it is you that liveth, as from your first birth, you indeed cannot be the body of Christ Jesus. For you must be dead by the body of Jesus Christ, buried in water baptism, as into the grave with the Lord Jesus, having put on Christ. And today you are Christ, in that you're buried with him in baptism, resurrected from the dead with Jesus, and it's not you living, but it is Jesus, and you are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And so then we're no longer as it would be the body of that death as to a living soul that can sin. But we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And we are that body that is given to the word of God and to the ways of God. So then it is a true fact that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And God is expecting of us to manifest Christ, in that the Bible said that we are to bring forth Christ from within as to be manifested in our mortal body, or the life of Christ to be made manifest in these mortal genes according to the measure as to whatever you are ordained to as to your own sovereignty. I asked of my wife today as we started off to lunch, I said, Betty, do you know what I preached on this morning? Betty's a good listener, and I sometimes do that just to see where the audience is in their mind, because I could tell this morning that the audience did not get what I was talking about, even though they picked up many things that I said, and they're growing in the grace and knowledge, but they didn't understand what I said today. And it was very besetting to me, because I want you to understand. It is so important that you understand exactly what I'm saying. Because, folks, to be carnally minded is death. To listen to this as to a reflector, to get these things as to whatever I'm saying, and not really understand is still death even the more. So then, to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the Bible said to him it is sin, and the soul that sinneth then shall surely die. And so then I talk to you because I want to make you to understand. I want you to understand. And of course somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you can't understand those things. But the Bible says the righteous shall understand. I've heard this so much say, well, you don't have to understand. People misunderstand when they say that you don't have to understand. Indeed, you have to understand. For the Bible said the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. And so then the wicked shall not see as through the eyes of understanding when good cometh. So then I asked my wife, I said, do you know what I was saying? See, the things that we're saying is a deep mystery. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm made a steward of the mysteries of godliness. And so then, this is why you have to have the spirit of revelation that God can grant unto you the wonderful knowledge which is within his Son. Because the church is being changed. The church is going through a condition. I do not have the time to explain this to you. I wished I did. I do not have the time. You do not have the patience for me to go through these things with you, to be able to expound these things to you and tell you of the wonderful things of God whereby you might understand Christ as to what is taking place, in that the church is on the verge of the change right now as from mortality to mortality. And folks, I'm telling you again, you can't just sit around and get a diploma. You, if you go to school, you can't just sit there and get a diploma. If you're going to have a diploma or go into a diplomacy, you're going to have to apply yourself in every grade. And from one grade to another, you're going to have to go right on into the following understanding and the next understanding and the next understanding until you can come to a diplomacy. And if you're going to be a dropout, you will never get that diploma. And if you're going to be one that hath listened, you will never be able to get a diplomacy. And even if you did get one, which you will not get in God, it would not do you any good because you would not know what it was all about. You would only have a piece of paper. Getting a diplomacy, that does not mean that you are anything. You could get a diplomacy and be a fool. See, and even as the Bible said, in this world, you're taken as with foolishness anyway. The whole thing is as foolishness. But if we'll look at it in what we call a right kind of mind as to giving some credit to the natural, you cannot get a diplomacy and think that you are a student as to diplomacy. That does not mean that you are a student of diplomacy, because it could have been many ways that you could have received that. People have received that all down through the years through all kinds of crooked means. See, that doesn't mean anything. When you're put on the job, you'll find out you don't know what you're doing. And when you're put in the position as to the diplomacy, you'll find out you don't know what you're doing. Having that little piece of paper doesn't mean that you're brilliant. For it was said unto one of those that came in unto the supper, he said, and from whence came the, how did you get in here, he said, without the wedding garment? Bind him hand and feet and cast him into the outer darkness. You can get into this thing through a charismatic order, through a religious thing, as through the things of today, while there's blood on the seat of atonement. You can slip in like Judas, but look what happened to Judas. At the end, he was bound hand and feet and he was cast into the outer darkness. See, Satan entered into him, and the Bible said as Jesus gave him the sop, he went out into the darkness. And so then you can get into this thing. But in the end, Satan is going to enter into you, and you're going to find yourself out in the intellectual darkness of your own religious human reasoning, bound hand and feet, to the extent that not one preacher can get to you, not one person can penetrate the shell. You'll be confident that you're on your way to heaven when God has sent you strong delusions. You'll be believing a lie, and he'll let you be damned. So this is why I tell you to have a love for the truth. Listen, give the most earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Don't take it for granted that God is good and all of these things is going to be in your behalf. Because even though God is good and they are in your behalf, as to this extent that this is the day of grace, yet many of you are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And because of this, you are doing your own thing. You're reveling and taking advantage of the grace of God while he cannot look upon your iniquities. And you are doing the things that you want to do, becoming an intellect as to your way of life. And all of a sudden, when the church goes out and the light goes out, you're going to be intellectually ignorant. You're going to be, your spirit is going to be bound in that intellectual darkness of the human feelers, as to the human senses, as to that which relates to the natural, are bound as to the tangible side of life. And your spirit is not going to be able to escape that body that's called the worm. It's going to be bound into there, and that thing is going to be cast into the lake of fire as to what is considered to be the burning indignation of the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries at his coming. So then we see that we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let these things slip. So then, I preach this to you over and over again. Right now, you cannot tell the difference. I have all these people before me, or the people that's listening to me in the audience, whether it would be by TV or radio, whatever which way this goes into books and whatever. Now, those people would be before me as I minister the word. Around the world, these things go. And in the day of judgment, I must stand there and they have to give an account as to what has been spoken, for it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking unto his people. Now then, standing there in that day, Jesus said, you have one that shall judge you, even the words that I speak, it shall judge you in the last day. So then, when I speak these things, judgment beginning at the house of God, whatever it is right here as to your faith and your soul, when you stand in the judgment, these same words are going to be identically the same without alteration to every generation. And the same word is going to judge you there. It's going to be the same as if you sit right here in the church and heard God speak to you. Because this is either the new birth or this is the cutting off place. So you say, here in our midst, illuminated, You are illuminated. All of us are illuminated. And you cannot tell the difference. You feel good about the whole thing. You hear this thing. You feel good about it. You feel the inspiration. You feel the rain on you as the unjust, like they do that are the just. So you feel this wonderful thing. So you cannot tell the difference. See, you are a light. If I look, I see a light. If you see me, you see a light. But the thing is, whether or not I'm a reflector, that is yet to be proven. Whether or not you are a reflector, that is yet to be proven. That is to say, you cannot tell it except ye be the elect. It is so close. As the sun shining within the mirror, off at a distance, you could not tell but what that was the sun. See, and you could not look directly into it, it would be exceedingly bright. But when the sun goes down, then the mirror has no more illumination nor glorification as to that which is bright and beautiful. So it is with you that when the church goes out as to the true body of the Lord Jesus, you won't have any illumination because your mind is not functioning as to the word, as to the love of God, as to the thoughts of God, as to meditate in spiritual things, as to holiness, as to godliness, as to pureness. It is functioning in the desire of the flesh and the covetous of the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the thoughts of the flesh and reveling in that as to the gullible desires of the world and what you can have in the natural as to the tangible side of the life. Well, the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. It's evident that then you are a bastard child and you're of your father the devil, because you savor the things that be of the world, all the things that be of the flesh. And the Bible said that is Satan, because he is the prince of this world. All right. So it's evident that God has given unto us power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. But if we come into this marvelous light, and we taste of this heavenly gift, being made partakers of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the good word of God as to the world to come, then if we fall away, that is, if we go back out of this light, out of the presence of God, still having that old mind of lasciviousness and that old gullible mind as to heart's desire toward the natural things of life, just to eat and to drink and to be natural and to be carnal, which is death and which is enmity to God. See, whether you are a murderer, whether you are a fornicator, whether you are a liar, whether you are a cheat or whatever, it makes no difference. If you are carnal-minded, you're guilty of all. Even if you're just rebellious as to submit to the word, or just stubborn as not to conform to the word. The Bible said stubbornness and idolatry is as idolatry or witchcraft, that is, rebellion is the same. It makes no difference. Those things are still demon spirits. And that was the way it was with Peter. Though Peter said these few things, yet it was demon spirits that was pressing Peter. And when it comes right down to it, you that are carnal, that seems not to be a fornicator, you are really a fornicator. When you're searched out, you'll find out if you don't commit the act as the fornication in your mind, you're always filled with fornication and the lusting after the opposite sex and committing adultery with them all the time in your heart. And if you're carnally minded, you're abiding in death. You are a liar. You are a cheat. You are a thief. You are a murderer. Because all of these people, that's what they are, is carnal-minded people. And somewhere down the line, if the timber strikes you right off, the thing is convenient, or if it works out as to where you're caught off guard, these things then, as it was with Peter, shall manifest themselves in your life, and then you'll find out that that's what you was all the time. So you need the power over all the powers of the enemy, which is Christ within you, the hope of glory. Doesn't matter what you know. Doesn't matter how brilliant you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been in religion. Somewhere down the road, you're going to be overthrown. Somewhere down the road, you're going to compromise. The Bible said, and if you will do the things I tell you, because you have kept my word, I will keep you from that great hour of temptation that's to come upon all the world to try all of them that dwell on the earth. I will keep you from that hour. We're entering into that hour now. This is the hour of great temptation that we're moving into. Already perilous times. Already we're moving into these things. And into that great hour of temptation. There is temptation on every corner. There's temptation in the corner of the living room, as to on TV, as to radio, as to literature, as to conversation, as to just looking or tasting or whatever it is, smelling. It's all alluring and drawing to temptation. It causes you to be tempted even with your smell, as to the smelling, as to that human scent. It is alluring as to the smell of beer and the smell of whiskey and the smell of women or men that's all sprayed up with perfumes as unto lust. Where the Bible speaks of the woman that has decked her bed with all of these kind of things as to the tapestry and all of these perfumes, saying as to the other that the master's now away and he knoweth not. Come then with me and we shall take our field through the night. See, and the Bible said, and he that standeth on the corner that is void of understanding goeth unto her as the fool until the dart strikes through the liver. For he knoweth not that her guests are in the chambers of hell. And so it is today with a drunken generation, maybe not drunk on whiskey, but drunken off of the cares of life. And so they revel with one another and they play with one another's spirit, whereas it is said that the woman should be shamefaced, that her spirit should not be let out to a man, that she should not be bold in her countenance nor her approach, but rather shamefaced as to the shying away, and that the man should not be bold in his with his ha 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 and whatever, but that he should be grave as to soberness before that. But I cannot find the women like that, neither can I find the men like that. No matter where you search, no matter where you look, it's all the same. All of them are the same. So then it means that it is a peerless time. It is the hour of temptation. And only they that are sealed inwardly with the great wonderful Spirit of God will be kept from this treacherous hour of the great temptation, which is to come upon the whole world, the Bible said, to try them that dwell on the face of the earth. And of course, that's where we're at today, folks. That's the way it is. They say, tell it like it is. And of course, that's the way it is. All right, let's stand together. There's one thing about this ministry. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, the Bible said let everything or every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It's up to you. I don't have to ask you. Your evaluation is as to what should be proper being here. Having enough experience, traveling around the different parts of the world, you judge within yourself. Is this then the truth? Someone said you would know the truth and the truth would make you free as to the Bible. There's something about the truth that it registers with us, and we just automatically know that that is absolutely a profound fact. We can't doubt it. There's something that makes us to know that that is true. Now, if that's true, then that means that you have come to the knowledge of the truth. And that means that if you've come to the knowledge of the truth, you don't go anywhere else. You don't go any further. This is the last stop. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, then you come to the last stop. You cannot turn away from this and go somewhere else. You cannot hide behind a cloak of maliciousness. You cannot back off and withdraw and draw back on this. You've got to go straight forward, or that is the end of the trail for you. You can come to church here. It can be like Judas, being every service with the regularity, even as Judas was with Jesus all the time, and still be a devil, or still find yourself in a precarious situation as not honoring and obeying God. And should the breath of life depart from you, you would find that you are in the bonds of iniquity and the galls of bitterness. Where at the same time you can be as a child of God here, having eternal life, and that Christ abiding within you as to the hope of that glory is your life, even the abundance of life filled up and overflowing to the extent that you have this wonderful life of Jesus and this wonderful exuberance as to an activation of God and an illumination of this wonderful glory of Christ. All right, let's sing together, can we? Had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifetime. Standing alone and the battle gets rough, do the best I can. One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I gotta go through, leaving this world behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. While we sing this, the altars are open. Let's sing that again. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving this world behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail. Sing one more time. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving this world behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. One more time. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving this world behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to the nail-scarred hands. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, I'm holding to the nail-scarred hands. Let's give him a hand, can you? All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? You love the Lord? If you love the Lord, then sing these songs with me. Give me another key, brother. The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills of hope keep calling me. Flesh is but a prison, bars of bones, they hold my soul. But the doors of clay is gonna burst wide open when the angels come, set my spirit free. Sing this. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of hope start calling me. I see love once over yonder, tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne, my Savior beckons, and the hills of home, they're calling me. This house of flesh is but a prison, and bars of bone, they hold my soul. But the doors of place gonna burst wide open when the angels come. Set my spirit free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of hope start calling. Sing that again. I can see loved ones there are over yonder. Their tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons, while the hills of home keep calling me. This house of flesh is but a prison, these bars of bone, they hold my soul, but the doors of clay is gonna burst wide open when the angels come and set me free. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of old start calling me. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle when the hills of home start calling me. You love the Lord? When the hills of home start calling me. I'm still a little bit hoarse, but you can still sing. Come a little closer. Just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Oh, come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Well, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the place it would end. But an old cotton preacher came a-calling one day. From the good book, he read a few words. Now I can say I'm well on my way. I came a little closer to the Lord. Sing it, Brian. Come a little closer. Just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer. Sing it with me now. So I came a little closer. Just a little closer, and I came a little closer to my Lord. My heavy load lightened, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little. One more time. So I came a little closer, Just a little closer, and I came a little closer to my Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and
the day was brighter
when I came a little closer to the Lord. So I remember, brother, when
just I was
traveling down a road of sin, trouble in my soul was carrying a heavy load, looking for the day to end. But the old time preacher came a calling one day, from the good book he read a few words. Now I can say I'm safely on my way, I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. For I want to grow higher with Thee. But the Lord knows I can't live on the mountain. So He picked out a valley for me. Sing this with me. He leads me beside still water, and somewhere in the valley below, He calls me aside to be tested and tried. In the valley He restoreth my soul. Can you sing that with me? It's dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines, and I question, Lord, how can it be? But He tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and victory in trials for me. Can you say that with me? Though He leads me beside still waters, and somewhere in the valley below, He draws me aside to be tested and tried. In the valley He restoreth my soul. Sing it one more time. It's dark as a dungeon, and the sun seldom shines, and I question, Lord, why must it be? But He tells me there's strength in my sorrows, and the victories and trials for me. Can you say it with me now? He leads me beside still water, and somewhere in the valley below, He draws me aside
side to be tested and tried. In the valley he restoreth my soul. He draws me aside to be tested and tried. In the valley he restoreth my soul.
Well, let's sing this little closing verse together, can we?
And I will praise him. For sinners slain, let us give him glory. People, his blood has washed away every stain.
All right, while Brother John Jameson comes to dismiss us, let us sing it again. Can you sing it again with me?
We'll praise my.